Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Tony.
9/11 2.
Escape to Africa.
Escape to Africa.
And Alex.
Start jumping off the boat. 4-0-N. Mastrio. My knee is blown.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony of Comic Conversations. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Alex. Alex, how are you doing today?
Let's get ready to jump off the boat.
R-O-N, Mastrio, my knee is blown.
Guy laughed so loud at that.
It's true, though.
He did get hurt a lot. If Kevin Nash had a catchy song with lyrics, you could do the same thing with him, right? Because he always got hurt.
Yeah, but he never had a catchy song. Oh, hey, actually, I take that back. The Wolfpack song was kind of catchy, but...
Well, but a lot of guys had that. Like, Conan had it. Well, Conan also had his music video. Oh my god, if it was my week to pick wrestling music.
Well, there's always next week, right?
I know, I gotta remember. I gotta get that old, have you seen the old one when he was still in Mexico and he was wearing like the neon orange suit?
No.
Oh dude, it's amazing. Include it in the comments when you post the show.
There you go. Oh, all right, for those of you who are wondering, we took the week off because Alex's microphone finally was on his last legs and decided to finally bust.
Mm-hmm. So I got a new one. It's much more comfy.
Yeah, so we had to take the week off. And also because of that, we're also reviewing fewer books. I don't think we're reviewing fewer books because we took the week off. I think it's because...
less books came out.
Yeah, DC had decided to scrap most of their books because they really wanted to push... that Wonder Woman annual, which we decided not to read.
Oh, is that why? No, it wasn't we decided not to read it. It was... Okay, it was I didn't realize it came out until later.
Oh, okay. But no, I'm saying as far as... if you look at Comic List right now for May 31st, if you look at the DC books that came out... there were very few books. In fact, when we go over this week's book list, you'll see just how few DC books we have. And I think it was done with the idea that they wanted to push the Wonder Woman annual with the idea of, hey, go watch the Wonder Woman movie on top of it. Which apparently people say is quite good. Like,
really?
Rotten Tomatoes says it's fine, but I've heard mixed results as far as what people are saying on the anecdotal level.
Well, CBR.
Oh, God.
Who is like, you know how CBR does the top 15 list?
Yeah.
I actually posted something to them. Cause I'm commenting on all their Wonder Woman stories cause they're literally putting up 5 a day. And I said, hey, when are you guys going to do a top 15 CBR stories about Wonder Woman in the last 3 days? I'm just wondering cause they're doing it constantly. They put up something completely ridiculous. They said Cheetah is the perfect villain for the next Wonder Woman movie. And I'm like, I commented, oh, so the character who is a giant furry who can barely speak English, you think that would be the best villain? Is it perhaps because she's a woman? Was Cersei a villain in this movie?
I don't know. I don't believe
so. Because if she wasn't, then it should probably be her because she can talk. And that is CBR showing their lack of comic knowledge by just picking a female villain and going, oh, female director, female actresses, female hero, female villain. Oh, and it made money. Oh.
And people said it was good.
No,
and people liked it too. They liked it because it was a woman.
No, they probably liked it because it was a good movie.
I don't know about you and as far as the podcast is concerned, but for me and my personal thing, I have a moratorium on CBR.
They make me mad.
Cause Newsarama is out there, so I will just go with that. They are not the only game in town.
I know, but CBR posts a lot more clickbaity stuff. So I tend to click on their stuff more.
Yeah, but when I'm looking for news, especially for the show, I used to...
Well, yeah, I go to Newsarama.
Yeah, the big two would be CBR and Newsarama, cause God bless all the other sites. Sometimes they'll get a big scoop.
Well, bleeding cool.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying for the most part, it's just the big two that are the only ones that really consistently get good news stories. But when you consider that Newsarama and CBR are almost interchangeable at this point, other than CBR is, you know, all the 15 articles are starting to get annoying, and then all the new stuff. Whereas, you know, Newsarama will have that, but they will have a lot of comic book news stuff, so.
They also have less SJW articles.
I don't want to say it, but yeah, that too.
Let's be honest, that's why they bother me so much.
Yeah. It used to
be. By the way, Iceman comes out next week. CBR is going to give it a 10 out of 10. Without reading it.
The funny thing is, they used to just keep all that stuff reserved on their message board, but somehow it's made its way to the main site.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the show. I was a member of I went to Camp CBR 3 times.
Ooh.
Which was a bunch of people from the message board. They would rent out a campsite in San Diego, and people from the website would go there. This is the first time I ever did anything with people on the air. Or no, I went twice. I went 2 years. I had a great time. None of the people who are there currently still post on CBR, I don't think. But at the time, like, these were a lot of people who've been on the site forever. Like, a lot of these guys knew each other because they've been doing it for years. By the time I went, like, Jonah didn't come anymore. But in the old days, he apparently did. It was a good time. They were good people. But then it turned into SJW world. And like CBR, there was always the joke that it was like the gay comic site.
Mm-hmm.
Cause there was just a high proportion, like relative, like people have to understand this is like 15 years ago. Like it's more acceptable to come out and say you're gay now. But at the time, you know, it was getting there, but it wasn't quite there yet. And CBR did have a higher proportion of gay people than other sites. But then, like, I guess that spread, and then gay comic fans just came to CBR because, like, they thought it was the cool place. And then they started, like, I think they were writing to appeal to that, maybe. I'm not sure. I don't know if this is true. It's just what I saw. And I stopped going there, not because of that, but because I stopped reading comics for a few years, and I probably got a life or something.
Yes.
So,
as we've heard with your wife and your child.
Well, I stopped going there before I had the wife and kid, and I would occasionally go back and post on their wrestling board. But, you know, I eventually got a Wrestling Observer subscription to start going to the board, and like, that's my internet thing. Oh, you know what it was? It was I started playing WoW. And when I started playing WoW, I didn't go to message boards anymore.
There you go.
That's what it was. But yeah, they've just always kind of been that way, which is fine. It's a niche.
Well, unfortunately, it's a niche that they felt the need to let take over their entire site.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, if you look at, like, video games, like, I think, like, 5 of the staff writers at Gama Sutra, and Gama Sutra is, like, the game website that actually covers the game business. Mm-hmm. Like, they're the one that does it. I think, like, 5 of their staff writers are gay dudes. So, but they don't have that rep, as far as I know. Mm. And I think it might be because they don't do top 10 lists. Like, they don't do clickbaity stuff. They do, like, developer talks about, it's all the stuff you watch, bud. It's like developer talks about how they made this game and how much money it cost. Like, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not really a lot of places to fit in political commentary in that, in like a business discussion. So, but you know, that's how the internet is. It's different sites that cover the same thing have different, you know.
Well, because I always liked CBR because I thought their news coverage was pretty good, but their preview stuff was also really good. Now, as of late, it's like they don't really preview books, and they do news, but it's buried. It's buried among all the movie and TV stuff, and this show is primarily, and as far as my focus and things that I like, I primarily like. It used to be just, I kind of liked the movies, didn't much care for the TV shows. Now it's just 100%. I just only read the comic books and that's it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we were talking about Wonder Woman. I have no desire to see it. Like, I'll probably watch it, like, when it comes out, maybe. The thing is, like, people say this one is good, but, like, I don't know if you remember, I really hated Batman vs. Superman.
Everybody did.
Yeah, and I didn't. Like, I hated 50% of Man of Steel, and I watched 15 minutes of Suicide Squad and got so angry I had to turn it off and couldn't watch it anymore.
Yeah, but this one actually got good reviews, which
I know, all the movies you brought up
didn't.
it takes place in the same universe, and I hate the universe. So, like, I seriously expect, like, they're like, oh, this one is good, though. And it's like, am I gonna, like, turn this on and, like, Superman comes in and, like, kills five people or something? Because that's what happens in these movies, apparently.
All right. I feel like we're taking a lot of time off, but the fact of the matter is we don't have a lot of books, so we have
to. Very small amount of books and no real news.
Yeah, so let's not waste any more time. Let's go into this week's books. So great. I've been putting off doing that song for forever because it's Chrono Trigger.
It's Chrono Trigger.
It's kind of played out.
Well.
Like, it's a great game and all. It's one of the best of all time. But with that said, little sick of everybody putting it over.
I disagree with them on that, people.
In what way?
It's one of the best Super Nintendo games of all time.
Yes.
It's not one of the best games of all time.
You don't think so? Not even like in the discussion for like top 10?
We'll do a top 15 list, and we'll see if it makes my top 15. I don't know if it would. I don't think it would. But then again, it's my list, so it'd probably be a much PC game.
Yeah, exactly. This is not like exactly a thing that most people can play.
Yeah, number 1 through 6, Civilization 1 through 6. This list is easy.
All right, let's go over this week's books, which include Uber Invasion 6, Flash 23, Lazarus Contract Special number 1, Saga 43, Cable number 1, Generation X number 2, Hulk issue 6, Moon Knight 14, Thanos 7, Secret Empire number 3, and open up this week's books, we have from, I believe it's Avatar Press, Uber Invasion issue 6, writer Karen Gillian, art by Daniel Getty.
I love this book.
I love this book, but this specific issue I didn't much care for.
Oh, I liked it. You didn't like it because they pulled away from the main story.
Exactly.
And they did something else, and I read the backups. I read the backups that Gillen writes, and this guy was a character from the previous Uber run that we didn't read.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, that's why I read that way then, because I'm just like, is this supposed to be the Japanese guy, and I'm like, this feels like I'm missing out on something, or maybe it's one of those things where we've established now when I don't understand something, I need to reread stuff.
No, in this, you didn't need to reread it because it wouldn't have told you. So I still don't know what happened. Like, they were showing, hang on a sec. Jack, you have to shut up. You have to be quieter. So they did like, they made references. Like, apparently America attacked Japan in this alternate reality and beat them kind of badly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the impression I got, but they were able to make one of the super powerful Ubers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Nazis are attacking the East Coast. Well, he went in and he destroyed San Diego.
Yeah, and I like this. This plays off what they set up in the last issue. They specifically said, is it the Japanese? And they're like, no, it's just the Japanese. Japanese.
It's a Japanese. It is not the Japanese. Yeah, so, this one was like super powerful and they weren't expecting it. But the thing is, they were talking about, you know, they've got a couple guys who are ready to fight. Because the whole gimmick with this is, the Americans, they're only just now getting like the super powerful Ubers. Mm-hmm. Like, they have, like, their tank men or whatever, but that's all they have. So, but they have a couple, but they're like, well, we can't send them to the East Coast, because they won't be able to fight right now. Like, they won't be able to beat them. They're like, but this Japanese one who disappeared, because after he destroyed the city, he just kind of walked away, like he's going to get something else. They're like, they can probably take him. So they were going to send him after him. And there was this, like, this is a really brutal book. We've talked about it before.
This one wasn't too bad, though.
Well, there was one thing. It was, one of the guys who was in, like, the Boston attack, one of the Ubers, they pulled him back because he wasn't, like, he was basically missing his legs. Half of his head was melted. Half of his body was gone, but he's an Uber, so he was still alive.
Yeah, because it looks like the remains of a body blown out, but they kept stressing, no, this guy is still alive. He's still living.
Yeah, and they couldn't kill him because they, like, normal guns would not hurt him, and they didn't have, I think they said, we don't have any industrial strength power tools here, so we can't do it. So they asked one of the other guys, like, can you please, like, end his misery? Which was, that was fairly horrific. But, you know, other than that, it was just, they showed the destruction of the city wasn't as violent as they normally are. Just because you didn't see, like, people's bodies melting anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I have a low tolerance, but sometimes, especially
you kind of do.
I kind of do at times. And this issue didn't affect me one way, shape, or form, really.
Yeah, well, because the difference was they put him in a plane, and they had him fly over the city, and he basically destroyed all their defenses while flying over it, and then he was going to wait until they shot the plane down, and then he was going to destroy the rest of the city. But yeah, I don't think you ever saw a person dying. You just saw aftermath of, like, buildings destroyed and stuff, which, I mean, by the nature of what they do, like, you know, they basically make these giant, they call it the halo effect. They make these giant energy blow up things. Like, they just kind of disintegrate whatever's in it if it hits it. So there wouldn't have been violence in this case. But yeah, so the people are still fighting back. The thing is, we've got a lot of storyline stuff that's kind of sitting there, and he doesn't deal with it in every issue. Because, to be fair, I mean, he's dealing with a world war with super-powered people. Mm-hmm. So when you're trying to do everything, you can't deal with everything in one issue because it's not an oversized comic. So he didn't even mention, like, the kids. The English chick who came over was in this because she was the one kind of pushing forward the dudes they had. And there was one creepy line. The guy who, like, Ubered up the Japanese kid, he, they were talking about, like, the doctor was, like, saying what unit he was from, and he was like, he told them, and it was in Japanese, and I didn't look for a translation, but he's like, oh, you were in the, you did, like, the animal experimentation. And he's like, yeah, we did a lot of work in China. There was a lot of vermin in China. And it's like, knowing what I know about what the Japanese did to China during World War II, they were testing on Chinese citizens.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously,
like, that was the vermin they were referring to. Yeah, so that was a little creepy.
He didn't come out and say it, but he alluded to that, and that's the impression that I got.
Yeah, like, we didn't read the first Uber, but I imagine the Nazis did the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's been suggested the reason the Americans are behind is because the Americans did not do experiments on people. So that is why they've never, you know, they haven't quite caught up yet. And the English didn't either. So, you know, that's, it was the fact that we're not the evil empires means we have a disadvantage in the war.
But the way they've been setting up this book, at least as far as after the first issue, the focus of this book has primarily been America's going to get to fight back.
Well, and he said the next issue. And he gave an update. He's like, we have the art done through 9. I'm sending the artist the script for 10 next. He goes, but the next issue is the biggest battle to ever take place in any Uber comic. So it should be a quick read.
Not necessarily, because up until this point, we haven't got that many battles. And I know it's just this Uber series, but if the other Uber series are any indicator – This is probably going to just be a lot of fighting, but who's to say how much?
Well, biggest one ever, so I'm hyped to read it. I do like, I mean, the artist in this is very much a guy who draws for Avatar, mm-hmm. but he draws well. I have to figure out what it is about Avatar, why no matter what artist they have, the books all kind of have the same look and what's causing that.
Well, they can tell the artist what specifically to draw. I mean, people like Image especially, but to a lesser degree Marvel, the artist kind of gets to do whatever they want. And I know when New 52 started, they specifically wanted all the books to look exactly the same.
Yeah, but I think they might have like an in-house colorist or something. I think it's something else. I don't think it's...
They could just have... If you work for Avatar, you have to draw a certain way.
And I just find that odd.
Well, I just got through telling you DC did it with their New 52.
Well, no, but I mean, they're a bigger company and it's shared universe, right? Like, it kind of makes sense for you to want all your characters who are coexisting to look the same. But like Avatar, like why does this book kind of look like Crossed, kind of look like Providence? I mean, Providence almost got away with it. It did look a little different, but that was required by the story. I don't know. I'm probably thinking about this too much.
What was Crossed about again? I'm blanking on what that story was.
Crossed was the one Garth Ennis came up with. Like he wrote it for like 6 issues and then... It continued on forever. It was sort of like a zombie thing. They weren't really there was some kind of thing, and people got this deal where they would have like a red cross looking thing on their face, mm-hmm. and it made them like insane evil. Like they would like eat people and rape them and eat them while raping them, and just the worst, most horrible things. And then Alan Moore did Crossed 100.
That's right. Now I know why this sounds familiar.
Yeah, which I read and I actually kind of liked because it was, you know, the Crossed world, but 100 years later. And it was incredibly hard to read because they all spoke in this weird dialect, like influenced by the Crossed. But the thing was, and that I loved that he came up with this. The Crossed were not as much of a problem anymore because of the way they were, most of them had killed each other. And like they couldn't have babies because if they had babies, they would eat the babies. Oof. So, well, yeah, I mean, it was Garth Ennis being as ridiculous as he could. But like this was apparently a hit for Avatar because I think they still put out Crossed books and they never stopped. Like they had 2 at one point. And like one of them was the more serious one, and then one of them was the let's see how crazy we can get one. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean it's not something I don't particularly think people should go out of their way to read it. Like Crossed 100 was actually pretty. It was pretty good. It was weird for Alan Moore, I thought, but Jax asked me to beat a level in Mario for him.
Are you going to?
Why aren't you jumping?
Because I don't like the way the controls are set up. Yeah, I'm trying. No, it's okay. I can still talk about the show. It's Mario, dude. Second nature.
Yeah, okay. Right, that's going to do it for Uber Invasion and Avatar Press. Let's move on to DC Comics with Flash 23, writer Joshua Williamson, and art by Carmen Giamuncio.
Okay, so this was... This was a couple different things because what they did in this is this was the first issue after the button, and Barry didn't have as much of a negative after effect of that story as Batman did because
all it did for him was basically he met Jay Garrick.
He met Jay Garrick, but he doesn't remember who Jay Garrick is.
Yeah.
So it was largely meaningless.
Well, it really left him with some questions, but the only thing he really had to
Well, he knows this mysterious guy saved him. And then this mysterious guy got sent, this mysterious guy got pulled back to wherever he was trying to escape from.
And even though Reverse Flash is dead, he knows eventually he's going to come back.
Well, and he did come back at the end of the issue.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because he's like, well, he's died before and he came back, so he's going to come back this time. And as they went away, it was kind of like they showed, like, the lightning in his eyes. I thought the most effective point of writing in this was hang on. Jack, you have to stop talking. He was discussing, like, okay, so the background for this was there was a party, like a birthday party for him, a surprise party. And he wasn't, it's not like he wasn't appreciative, but he wasn't really into having a birthday party because he was worried about all this stuff. And what he was really worried about was he knew Reverse Flash was going to come back now. And he, like, did this imagination thing of, like, what Reverse Flash would do. Because he was talking about how he hadn't told Iris he is Flash yet, and he doesn't want to. Because if she knows, he thought she might be more of a target for Reverse Flash if he comes back. And he's, like, saying, like, he's faster than me. He's faster than Wally. He will literally come and kill everyone I care about, and I will just have to stand there and watch. I won't be able to stop him. So he's actually terrified of this guy, and they made him come off as, like, hugely threatening, which he kind of is.
He is, and the thing is, they really stress in this thing. It's like he has no problem murdering his mother. He has no reservations on killing all of his friends and family. And the thing is, the thing he has over Barry, on top of the fact that he can do that and the fact that he's faster, is he hasn't told anyone that he's Barry yet. I mean, that he's the Flash.
Yeah, he always has that.
And even specifically in this issue, when he has to fight, what's the Metroplex? What's the name of the villain in this?
Metroplex. Who is a villain there just to give them something to do?
Yeah, I mean, really, it is kind of a throwaway, the fact that he's just there. But the thing is, they stress that, you know, it's even weird how he has to find ways to disappear when stuff's going down because he's Flash and he can't have anybody. He knowing he's Flash, even people like, his girlfriend.
Yeah, and like, you know, Wally, who is Iris's nephew?
Yes.
Yeah. Or Kid Flash. I forgot we're calling him Kid Flash, not Wally. He's all mad at Barry now because Barry didn't tell him about his dad.
Actually, no, they told that. He's sort of over it, but now he's just mad that he didn't tell his aunt.
Well, he didn't tell him. Yeah, he hasn't told her that he's Flash.
Yeah.
But either way, he doesn't really have a buddy there, but he's worried about him because he thinks, you know, he's going to come back and he's going to kill him. So, you know, Green Lantern showed up to the party, and that's how he fought Metroplex because Green Lantern was there too. And, at the end, Reverse Flash was waiting in the house. So Reverse Flash is already back. I'm not sure if there's some funny business going on with that.
Because they still show the corpse, but it's not like the corpse reanimated.
Maybe it's like him from the past.
That's what I'm thinking, because I got the impression that this was a completely different Reverse Flash.
I don't know, because they didn't show enough. It was him in the costume. It was a decent issue, though, and it already started off into another four-issue storyline. So I'm cool with that. I like that they're moving the story along.
Mm-hmm. Great book. All right, let's move on to our final DC book, Teen Titans Lazarus Contract Special Number 1, writer Dat Abnett, art by Paul Pelletier.
Okay, so I did miss the previous issue of this because here's something to tell the people. When we don't do the show, I don't read comics.
Shame.
Yeah, I don't read it. I did download Black Hammer, Action Comics, and Seven to Eternity. Those I wanted to read because I determined those are books I have to read to know what's going on. But I did skip, I think it was Teen Titans. But I was still able to figure everything that was going on. So Deathstroke got the Flash powers. And he was going back in time to try to convince his son to not be Ravager. But every time he went back, it wouldn't work. So he tried to go back further and further and further into time to get to a point where his son would believe him and wouldn't just blow him off, which is what he kept doing. So it wasn't working. But meanwhile, the Teen Titans and the Titans, the adult Titans, they were having a disagreement because, like, Damian blames Kid Flash for all this because he let Deathstroke basically talk him into giving him the Speed Force. And to get back in time where he needed to, Deathstroke was going to, like, he was doing something that would, like, destroy reality, like all this messing with time. So Beast Boy is like, hey, maybe we should call the Justice League. And oddly, they were all like, no. Which I didn't understand. And at one point he's like, is this like a pride thing? Like, why are we not?
I thought most of the Teen Titans were in fact cool asking.
No, half of them were. And I think it was, I don't know if it was Donna Troy or if it was Nightwing. One of them finally said, by the time we call them and they get here, which is ridiculous, they're the Justice League. He's like, the world might already be over. We have to keep doing this now. Because apparently in DC, cell phones don't exist. Like, you can't continue doing what you're doing and then be like, hey, Batman, can you tell Superman the world might end? All right, well, later, bro.
I'm more so thinking, like, logistically. It's like the Justice League.
They have teleporters.
Yeah, but who's to say they're not busy doing other things? Either in, by themselves or as a, well, as a yeah. team.
Yeah, but dude, the reality is going to be destroyed. Yeah. Like, are they doing something that important? Yeah, but
what do you want Cyborg to do about it?
Hey, Cyborg could hack into Deathstroke's computer systems. I don't know.
Because Batman but, can't.
So what ends up happening is Deathstroke's doing his run thing, and he's really mad that this isn't working out with the sun. He eventually runs so fast that he gets sucked into the Speed Force, which Damian says, well, job done. Like, he's just like, oh, everything's solved. And they're like, you know, doing the hero. They're like, no, we can't leave him there because we don't know what's going to happen. And Wally's with him too. And Damian's whole thing is like, well, you know what? Wally kind of deserves it because he caused all this, and Deathstroke's a murderer, so it doesn't matter.
I was like, but, are we supposed to feel bad for a known murderer dying?
Yeah, and there was an amazing moment where, so Kid Flash and Deathstroke are in the Speed Force. Wally's the only one who's ever gone into the Speed Force and got out, right? Mm-hmm. So he's going to go into the Speed Force and get them both out. But they say, you know, we'll have to, like, make an anchor, and they're going to do, like, a psychic anchor. So they get Omen and Raven using magic and the psychic stuff are like the anchor for Wally, who's going through. But what happened was Wally was scared because he's scared of messing around with time travel and the Speed Force. And since Raven has the, like, empathic powers, she was absorbing all his fear, which led to an amazing moment where I think the new he doesn't have a name yet, Aqua Lad.
I think that's his name now, because what's his name has the other name now, right?
Yeah, he's Tempest, yeah, but which is a much better name than Aqua Lad. But whatever, the new Aqua Lad, who seems like a, you know, he's a normal dude. He's kind of cool. He's trying to, like, comfort Raven, but he's like, Robin, you have to do this because I don't know her and she doesn't know me and it's not going to do anything. And Damian, like, he doesn't want to do this. And he's like, God. And he walks over and he basically smacks her in the back of the head twice and goes, there.
Nice.
Which did not work. And then he actually talked to her kind of nicely. So Wally and Deathstroke come out. Deathstroke announces he is quitting. He is quitting. Oh, I left one thing out, and it's actually the most important thing because it changes something. So to stop all this, Damian's solution was he punched Wally West in the chest in such a way that his heart would stop beating. So he was dead. This was like a past version of Wally. So he was dead. So without him being the Flash, basically Deathstroke would never get the Speed Force powers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He did bring him back to life, but he basically killed him to do this. However, that changed the timeline. Because he did that, we found out Wally has now had a pacemaker for years. And the doctor told him, if you keep being the Flash, you will die. Like, your heart will give out. And Flash was, like, trying to play it off. Like, they could tell he was, like, super upset about this. But they were like, you know, oh, Wally, you got to talk to us about this. He's like, no, everything's fine. You heard him. We got the bad guy. Everything's fine. And he, like, runs off, and he was crying. So they might kill old Wally.
I think what they're going to do, and I think this is because they dealt with this in the last part of the story, is it may actually have been this one. He may just stop being the Flash.
That sucks.
Because was it this issue or was it the one from before where he talks to the doctor and he can't be Flash anymore?
That was this issue.
Oh, okay.
Because it was because of what Damian did.
I wonder.
Dude, I like the Flash family. Yeah,
you have two Wallys though. Do you really need two Wallys?
Yeah, I know that's a problem, but the thing is, this character is not like the other Wally. He's completely different. I've told you this a million times. My whole thing is, my Green Lantern is Kyle. My Flash is Wally. I don't want my Green Lantern and my Flash going away. I want them to stay around. I will do Wally's Emerald Attack Team.
Well, your Green Lantern, I don't think you're going to have to worry about. But the Wally, I don't know. I could see the original Wally going away.
But people were begging for him to come back.
Yeah, well, they ain't buying
like
the book.
Like, they like him. They are buying the book. The book is selling well.
Is it selling that well, though?
The Flash book is, and Titans is doing good. Titans is doing better than Teen Titans, I think. Which means old Wally is a bigger draw than young Wally.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. He's an existing character who's been around for a long time, and he was around forever, and they only recently brought him back. I don't think they're going to kill him now that I think about it, because they just brought him back.
Well, like I said, I didn't say they were going to kill him, but he's just going to stop being Flash.
And look what happened to Marvel with Marvel replacing heroes.
Yeah, we'll see.
DC's eating their lunch.
Yeah, but why would they be teasing this unless they were going to do something with it?
Because they could do a big story. Dude, they're going to have the Dr. Manhattan thing soon. He'll probably make everything go back to normal. So Wally will have a fixed heart. Anything that is timeline affected right now can be easily undone.
I guess. All right, that's going to do it for the DC portion of the show. Let's move on to Image with Saga 43, our only book from Image. Obviously, writer Brian K. Vaughan and artist Fiona Staples.
So, apparently, after the events of the last issue, Alana, the baby died.
Yes.
But it's still in her. So they went to a planet that had a place called Abortion Town.
With a friendly little owl who was just more than happy to greet them.
He was the sheriff of Abortion Town. However, when he asked how pregnant she was and he said 8 months, he's like, oh, we can't do that. Like, that's illegal here. This is a landfall world and they have restrictions on third trimester abortions. Even though, like, you would think if she explained, like, the kid's already dead, like, I just need it out, like, that might be okay. But yeah,
I don't understand what the problem with that is in this.
Yeah, it's like, because it's not really an abortion. I don't understand why she had to pretend that it was a living baby.
Okay, here's why I think why, and I can actually make sense of this now. Doing something like that, you would just do at a hospital. But like they stress in this book, they can't go to a regular hospital because the child may have wings and horns.
Well, she still couldn't have told him, like, oh, the kid's already dead.
But the reason what they do is they do abortions. That's all they do.
Well, yeah, but it's still, the process is the same, right?
No, they're like, just, they're, what I imagine they were going to tell you, they'll tell them is, just go to a hospital. What's the big deal?
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. Well, anyway, they explained why they couldn't do that. They lied, but he basically gave them where they could go get a back alley abortion, and those people would do anything. Mm-hmm. What?
Are you good at drawing?
No, I'm horrible. So she was going to go do that. Hazel and the... I don't know what she's like their bodyguard? The one who escaped from the prison who's been around.
Oh, and she just started tagging along. I don't know what her...
Well, because she escaped from the prison.
I mean, she helped Hazel escape, so...
Yeah, that's why she's still there, and they just, you know, everyone keeps dying.
Which by the way, as long as we're talking about what happened in this book, I'm surprised you're calling it she.
Well, I don't know, because it's like an outer space thing.
No, they specifically mentioned, and it was a point of contention.
Oh, yeah, they
Hazel asked, she got upset.
She did, yeah, because Hazel, who was a young girl, asked her about the penis. Mm-hmm. And she immediately got offended at a 6-year-old or at an 8-year-old child. It's like, don't be like that. Transgendered people, please don't be like that. It's an 8-year-old child.
Well, and then she brought up a specific reason why she asked that question. She's all, you know, I got wings and horns.
She was worried she was going to grow a penis.
Yeah, she's like, I got wings and horns that I'm technically not supposed to. And really, I'm worried if other things are going to start growing out of me.
And then when she explained it, she didn't really know how to respond. And then she's like, I also have a question about nipples. And then she's like, we're going to go over here now. Deal with this. And, I don't remember how this issue ended.
I don't either. I'm trying to think now. It's really.
I have absolutely no memory of how it ended.
It didn't happen at the end of this book, but one thing I did tell you when I was reading this in advance before you did was Marco's regressing again.
Oh, he feels really, he thinks their baby died. Their baby actually died because Alana got knocked all around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the baby died, but he thinks the baby died because he killed that guard.
Cause, you know,
and she's told him like, no, stupid. If you hadn't killed the guard, he would have killed you and your entire family. Baby would still be dead, and I'd be dead, and Hazel would be dead, and you'd be dead. He's like, yeah, I guess, but I don't know.
This has to end with her dumping him, right?
One of them's going to die. I don't doubt it for a second. I hope it's Marco, but it probably won't be. Because Alana's the stronger character. So, thematically, you would want to kill her.
Because it would mean more, yeah.
Because then, yeah, there's more danger.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people read this and they're like, oh my god, I love Marco. Like, he's a pansy.
Well, they had no problem killing off my fair character, the babysitter.
They didn't kill Gus, though.
not yet, give it time.
Well, although Gus isn't even around anymore.
I did tell you the owl is giving Gus a run for his money.
No, because Gus is cute. The owl's not cute.
But I just love it when he's telling him about the back woods or the back whatever they call it, the Badlands. There we go.
Oh, he flips his head all the way around.
It's like I wasn't expecting that. But as an owl, no. I'm sure he's used to doing it all the time. But I just died.
I've talked about it before. I hate owls. I absolutely hate them. A barn owl attacked my head once.
Oh.
Owl. Okay. Birds are like the stupidest animal. Mm-hmm. And owls are the stupidest birds. I don't know how they got the reputation for being wise creatures. They're not. They are the stupidest birds. Which is why when this big-ass barn owl landed on my frickin' head and wouldn't get off, it weighed like 100 pounds, I swear. It was terrifying. I picked it up and I threw it. And it flew. I hate owls. But, yeah, so I didn't like this thing. Because a big walking, talking owl.
Also, you're not a fan of Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, fuck the owl. Give Matt and Jeff Hardy their gimmick. You cannot make money with it. You know what I would do if I was Impact? I want to talk about this. I would put that gimmick on someone.
Just as Spike?
I would just pick some of their wrestlers who aren't over, and I would just put the gimmick on them. Because they're not doing anything with it.
That was always my point of contention. It's like, okay, they want to hold on to it, even though it never drew them a dime when they had the hard ones.
They want to get paid money. Or they want WWE to, like, recognize their existence. You remember the last time WWE worked out a deal with them?
I don't remember this ever happening. So
okay,
no.
This happened. They wanted to put Ric Flair in the Hall of Fame a second time. Mm-hmm. And the deal was, okay, we'll let Ric Flair go to the Hall of Fame if you send us someone to Slammiversary or Bound for Glory or whatever. And they sent Christian. Of all people, Christian went out on one of their pay-per-views and talked for like a minute and then left. That was what they got. And WWE got Ric Flair back. And then he, you know, got Jim Ross fired.
Dick. Why did the whole game start over again?
I don't know, bud.
Cable issue 1 from Marvel Comics.
Okay, so I enjoyed this more than I should have.
I didn't enjoy this at all. There was barely anything to this book. I don't understand how you liked this.
Yeah, I really liked it, actually. So the book was about Cable is bopping around time. Like, it started out, like, in the Old West, and there were some dudes who were scaring a whole town sitting down playing cards. And then suddenly Cable showed, like, they were talking about how they're running the town. Cable shows up. And then these Old West guys pull out their sci-fi future guns. And Cable kind of laughs them off because Cable's super badass. And he, you know, he shoots them all and then he takes one of the guys and he like ties him up. And he's like, hey, where'd you get these weapons? And the guy's like, okay, I'll take you somewhere. I'll take you to where I got them. And he takes the guy, scares him, finds out this is where he got them. And then the guy disappeared. So he's like, okay. So he travels to a different time point in Japan. And there's a town that's burning. And they said these guys with flaming swords got them. And Cable's like, I'll take care of it for you. So he goes and he finds some guys with, I don't know, video game swords. They look like Tron swords.
That's the sword from Scott Pilgrim. Because it was a pixel.
Yes.
It was a pixelated flaming sword.
Yeah, but they tell him they're like, somebody warned them that he was coming. So they were like, oh, before you're just fighting a couple guys, but we have an army and dudes come with Scott Pilgrim bows and arrows too. And he ends up getting stabbed in the chest and then he gets his freaking metal arm cut off. So the issue is, it's a lot of action. It's him looking for this guy who's traveling through time and getting stuff from people and trading them super advanced weapons. But Cable is in a really bad way right now because he's missing his arm. And he's obviously not dead. It's the first issue. Here's why I like this. This book did nothing to establish the character. They must have just figured, like, you know Cable's gimmick. He time travels. He's got a metal arm.
And even if you didn't, that's what he did in this book, so you know that's
the
MO.
Yeah, he didn't explain his powers. He just used them. He did.
Bowser is impossible in this game. I tried to jump on him, nothing happened.
Oh, I don't know if you guys can hear that, right?
Yeah, I can hear it just fine.
I think you're probably supposed to lose, bud. So in some games, you're supposed to lose there, bud. Jack is playing the original Super Mario, Paper Mario.
Ah, okay.
N64. So he's confused by scripted battles. Okay. So I get why you didn't like this, cause I know what you like and I know what you don't like. And this probably moved too fast for you.
I'm sure our buddy Nuthugger loved this book. Tons.
Yeah. But I mean, I thought as far as a 22 page comic that completely gets across who a character is, gives you a plot of where it's going to go forward.
I just wonder who was this book for?
people who like Cable.
But nobody likes Cable.
People do like Cable, dude. He's been around
When I heard that they announced this book, I just assumed with all the popularity of Deadpool that this was just going to be a companion book. And I was sort of relieved.
And I knew it wasn't going to be.
I was relieved when it wasn't that. But then my thing was, okay, I didn't much care for this book. And then I got around to thinking, who's this book's audience then if it isn't like the Deadpool people?
People who like Cable.
People from
Cable has had more comics than Deadpool.
Yeah, but let me put it this way. There was a time when Cable was over. Those days have come and gone.
No, because I did research. And in the Uncanny Avengers book, one of the characters who got the most talk was not Deadpool, it was Cable. And that book went up in sales when they put Cable on the team. Cable is still kind of a draw. Now, this book, I think it'll get canceled after 6 issues.
Yeah.
There's too many X-Men related books. But this one is different. It's a time traveling hero traveling through time and doing different things. And the art was good. And they get to draw lots of different things. And that's cool.
If it was anybody else. I don't know.
I liked it. I just thought it was fun. And it only took me a minute to read.
Yeah, but if it was anybody else, I'd be like, hey, maybe you're onto something here. Cable just feels like, God, he just feels so, like old hat.
You, sir, need to go read Warren Ellis's X-Man run. Because he was technically young Cable. Mm-hmm. And that run where he was the Earth Shaman was fantastic. Is amazing. And you should go read it. And then come back and talk to me about Cable. All What's right. up?
All right. We'll see. All right. Since we're talking all things X-Men, let's talk Generation X number 2.
I like this too. I think they're turning Quentin Quire heel.
I don't think they are. I think they're just writing him the way he always is.
Well, but he's less trying to be a hero and more trying to be a huge dick. And now apparently he's going to corrupt other young mutants. Here's what annoyed me in this issue. And I like this issue. So what happened was in the last issue, you know, they've turned. So the X school is in Central Park. Mm-hmm. So not only did they train the X-Men there, but they've turned it into like a museum, like a place where humans can come and learn about mutants and not be afraid. Whatever, that's a cute idea, that's alright. It's also a horrible idea because of what they showed in this. The Purifiers, the anti-mutant extremists came, and they were gonna kill all the mutants. So, they had to fight them. But before that, we find out that, and again, I liked this. This made 100% sense. They said, basically, instead of training all the students who go to the Xavier School the same way, some of you were going to train combat, like, so you could be X-Men. Some of you were going to train how to, like, exist in normal life, like how to hide in plain sight. Like, they have these different things. And basically, the class that, like, Roxy and maybe I-Boy was there, Quentin Quire, that there were just a group. Glob was not there, unfortunately.
With his giant glasses. Did we talk about that on the show? I don't remember.
Yeah, he has glasses now. We mentioned it when we did the thing. Yeah, he got glasses because he needed them. And contacts don't work. He loses them. No, but they have this other class, which Quentin correctly assumed, and the girl was a little upset too. Like, wait, we're the ones who never get to be X-Men? Like, we're just going to be losers who don't get to do anything? And Quire's like, okay, I get why these other jobbers are here, but like, why am I here? I'm amazing. And Jubilee explained, well, Quentin, the problem is we keep thinking you're going to be ready to be an X-Men, and then you self-destruct and you ruin it all every single time. He's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, well, look at the room, because he trashed the room got trashed in the last issue basically because of him. And he's like, oh, it's okay, I'll just fix it. Well, yeah, he fixed it. He wrote, you suck, on the wall.
Nice.
And then put all the furniture and stuff together, but he put it on the ceiling. So she's just pointing out, like, you're always a dick. That's why you're going to be here. He thinks he's too good for that. So the Purifiers attack, and Quentin's like, this is retarded. I'm going to go deal with this Omega-level mutant. He goes outside, and he's like, they're fighting him. And he goes, all right, guys, you should all punch yourselves in the face. So the guys are punching themselves in the face, and they're all freaking out. Quentin, stop this. You're using them like tools. And he goes very rightly, no, I'm efficiently taking care of this problem, unlike what you guys would do, which is fight them and maybe some people get killed. You can't use your powers like this. Why? Why can't he? He stopped them from hurting everyone. They were hurting themselves. He's going to end the fight, and they made him stop. It was so stupid. He did, however, then say, oh, okay, stop hitting yourselves. Shoot yourselves in the head.
Yeah, it's like if that wasn't bad enough.
Yeah, he didn't make them go through with it. But it's still like they're yelling at him for this, and I'm like, and then they go on fighting, and it takes twice as long. And it's like, and by the way, one of the guys got away, ran into the building and was going to kill all the mutants. So if they would have let Quentin just do what he was doing, like they would have eventually knocked themselves out and problem would have been solved. Like, I don't understand. I mean, technically, if he wasn't Quentin Quire, he could have just knocked them all out, like snapping his fingers. Mm-hmm. He could have done that. I get that. And what he was doing was kind of mean, but he was also 100% right. If he's got that much power, why can't he do that? It removed the danger from everyone but the guys who were attacking him. Like, Nightcrawler runs around with a freaking sword. That's okay. But Quentin Quire can't make them punch themselves in the face because they're taking control of their bodies. Jean Grey never uses her telekinesis to throw somebody into a wall.
It wasn't until this point when you were doing your recap, because I obviously read the book and you were focusing primarily on the Quentin stuff because that was primarily the focus. So obviously they do choose to focus on the other mutants as well as primarily the focus is the new mutant. But I realize now, I've been asking for a Quentin Quire book, but I realized, I'm like, that's not really, I don't see that lasting very long. So what they basically
is basically
the Quentin Quire book.
Because he's what the plot is revolving around right now. He's the most interesting kid. And they know that. And what they did at the end was he was kind of moping in the building and one of the new kids came up to talk to him. He's like, hey, dude, where are you hanging out over here? Do this. And he's like, I can't remember what he was saying to himself. He was basically saying things are boring here and they don't want to teach us what we need to learn. And I've already learned everything anyway.
I don't know, bud.
I've never played this. So I don't know what to do or whatever. But then this kid talks to him and he like calls him an idiot. But then he's walking away. He's kind of smirking. The sense I got was because the original Quentin Quire story that Morrison wrote was he basically got a group of misfits and made them like his crew because he could control them. And then he tried to take over the school. And I think the hint at this, you broke your gamepad, bud, so you'll never be able to use it. I'm sorry, I have to keep interrupting. He's been staying up late. So I think they're kind of hinting at that. I don't think they're going to turn him heel, but for that character, like it's a really easy move to make.
Yeah, but they've done it before, and
how he was created.
Yeah, but if this is the Quentin Quire book, I think he's always going to ride that line because that sort of is his character, the rebel without a cause, the guy who's going to, like you said, put the chairs and the desks on the ceiling and write "you suck" on the wall. But when push comes to shove, he's going to do the right thing, and that's always been his MO, at least after the Morrison stuff.
He also realized that, no, because after the Morrison, like, Schism was his fault. And that was years after Morrison. That was Gillen. Like, he was still a villain.
I'm talking about the stuff Aaron and beyond.
Well, yeah, he kind of fixed him. It's because he was one of the characters Morrison created that they decided to keep. So they kept him around. I don't know where they're going with it. I'm interested to see. I thought this was a well-written book. The art annoyed me less in this issue.
It's still not great.
It has some issues. Like, the action, I thought, was very good. Like, he can clearly tell a story. So I don't have a problem with that. It's just, I don't know if I like the way he draws people in general. It was better than another Marvel book we're going to talk about later.
Do you want to go into that now?
You know what I'm talking about, right?
No, because... Oh, yeah, we're saving that to the end. Isn't that the main event?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that book had terrible art. So, Jack, turn it down.
All right, let's talk... No, turn it down!
For some reason, Minecraft needs to be really loud.
Okay, let's talk from something you hate to something you probably like. Or I much care for Hulk issue 6, writer
yeah.
Marioki Takagi, and art by Nico Leon.
Yeah, I really liked it. It was a good ending to the story.
I thought everything had been setting up, and this was.
I do have one problem with it.
Okay,
it's like a pro wrestling problem. So we're on issue 6 and she finally hulks up and she sold for the monster. I think to properly get across what they were doing, she should have brutalized this thing and almost killed the girl. That's what I would have done in the story.
That's what they should have done. And I really wish we still had while she was fighting the monster where she was being more inflective, because this felt really rushed. Like, I felt like this could have been stretched out to 2, maybe 3 issues.
And no, because it already went 5.
Yeah, but I'm like, there was so much to the monster and the relation. Not only the other woman, but Hulk's relation, She-Hulk's relation to the monster. I thought there was a lot of material there, and I feel like they just wrapped it all up in one issue.
It ended up being really a really simple thing, though. The girl, whatever this thing was, it was she basically created it due to her fear. And the thing fed off of fear. And that's, I mean, that was the excuse for how She-Hulk could have been affected by it, because her whole thing with not turning into Hulk is she's afraid to turn into Hulk because she's still all messed up over Bruce's death. And she basically got victimized as Hulk, and she doesn't want to remember it. So that's why she's been avoiding being Hulk. So they were trying to show a connection between her and the girl who felt victimized. Like, they both did, and they dealt with it in different ways. And that's what you should do, because Hulk is a hero and the other person is just a civilian. So Hulk should deal with it better. And she did. She had the fear, but she overcame it. This girl really couldn't. She was basically asking Hulk to kill her. Mm-hmm. Like, she said, you know, destroy me. Like, I don't want to live in this world. This world is horrible. Just kill me.
And She-Hulk basically said, yeah, that's not going to happen. We're not going to do that.
Yeah,
even when the ambulance showed up and took her away to treat her, she said, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, it was sad.
Yeah.
Like, it was really sad. And then she was, you know, in the hospital and stuff. And they didn't really follow up on it, because she was pretty messed up from the fight and everything. But She-Hulk ends up going to, you know, she's Walters again. She's in human form. She ends up going to, like, they're opening up, and I can't believe they would do this. It's like a research lab or something, but it's named after Bruce Banner. And I'm just like, I don't think they would do that. Because he was, like, the thing they seem to be forgetting is, like, he was a genius, but people were happy that Hawkeye killed him.
Not everybody. Like, they do establish...
Most people, though.
No, they treat it like a 50-50 thing. Where it's like,
but it shouldn't be, because the way it was presented was... People who were saved by the Hulk liked the Hulk, but people who were around when Hulk was frickin' destroying cities did not like the Hulk, which makes sense. But Hulk saving an individual family is much less common than Hulk destroying a couple city blocks, because that happened a lot more. That's why people were cool with Hawkeye. Like, they even had people who were, like, they were technically saved by Hulk, but, like, he destroyed their house, so they hated him. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, the thing. But that's, but that, that, that was that Hulk, and it's not She-Hulk. She's different. But they still have, they show, like, when she's Hulk, she's still got, like, the cuts and stuff. Like, she does not look like She-Hulk anymore. Like, she's still, you know, clearly a woman, but she's a different color, and she's got the cuts, and they're not healing. And we can only assume that's, like, a psychological thing.
Yeah, because when they show her back to Jennifer, she looks like a normal human being again. There are no physical scars on her, but when she turns into the She-Hulk, she obviously looks – she doesn't look like she normally does. She's obviously gray, but she's – like you mentioned, she's bulked up and she has the scars and the cracks all over her.
And she's not – like the other thing is when she was She-Hulk, she was the exact same person. She was not a different person. She still had all her faculties, but they were showing that when she's She-Hulk, she has to, like, focus more now. Mm-hmm. And it's, like I said, it's not an anger thing. It's a fear thing. So she's not worried about, like, losing control. She's more worried about, like, I was She-Hulk. No one could hurt me. Somebody almost killed me. So now I don't feel safe as She-Hulk. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, the only problem with this story is, like, the only way you could really deal with it is, like, she's going to have to beat shit out of Thanos. Which she could do right now.
Which is, yeah, it's entirely possible. Because even in this week's Thanos, it's like, even a couple of dudes who's, like, on some back water planet was able to slap Thanos around.
The thing that makes me sad about this book is, like, it's such a character story. Like, it's not about Hulk smashing stuff. Mm-hmm. It's about her dealing with what happened to her. And it's, you know, it still has, like, some of the humor that comes from the other She-Hulk books. But overall, it's a lot more serious because she went through something serious. But books like this, they tend to not stick around long.
That's what I'm wondering. It's like I want a conclusion to this book before it ends. And I don't know if we're going to get that.
I think we might. But it's like, I don't know if I want, like, here's the thing. This character trait, it can't go on forever. This can't be the new standard because it wouldn't make any sense. It wouldn't make any sense for her to still be She-Hulk if she's constantly terrified. So eventually she's going to have to get over it. But if she gets over it and she just goes back to the more, like, fun-loving She-Hulk, like, that's going to feel kind of phony after this, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, like, I don't know what they, like, I don't know what the end game is.
I think what they're going to do is they're not going to resolve this because you can't resolve it because basically you're admitting, oh, the book's being canceled. Let's wrap everything up.
Yeah, and I don't think the book's in danger of cancellation right now. I mean, Moon Girl sells 5,000 copies and they still publish that.
They're going to do what, here's what I think is going to happen. This book's going to wrap up and they're not going to leave any, everything's going to be unresolved. Eventually, She-Hulk will find her way on to another team. They will address all the stuff in a couple issues, and the status quo will be returned. At least on the surface. She'll go back to looking the way She-Hulk you expect is supposed to look, whereas they may add this to her character permanently, to where there's times where she's, you know, she starts having memories of all the stuff that happened in Civil War II, and maybe she hulks out and turns gray.
This book is so much better than Totally Awesome Hulk.
Well, we dropped that because it was such a quick read and it was such a surface level book where this book has a lot of depth.
But it shouldn't have been. Like that book at the start, it was going to be more like this book. And then they almost completely dropped it.
The whole gimmick of that book was supposed to be Cho thinks he has the Hulk under control when really he doesn't, and eventually it's going to wind up getting out of control. And we were getting to like issue 15 and they were.
Well, they're doing like two issues with like guest star Jeremy Lin and like frickin' we're going to go do pro Asian culture things. And it's like.
You had a really good premise there. The idea of a kid messing with forces that he can't understand, but you chose to get detoured with all these side projects.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, he had, like, I liked his sister. Like, he had just his one supporting cast member, but, like, she fit with him good. it's just, it fell off track. Whereas this book, I don't know, it's just more focused. Like, she doesn't have a supporting cast anymore. And I think that's intentional because they're trying to show, you know, after what happened to her, she's a little distant.
Well, you still have, you know, Hellcats trying to cheer her up, trying to get her back to the way she is.
But she's not in every issue. Like, they just kind of, they guessed.
And that's sort of the premise of the book where all of her friends are trying to help her out, but she wants nothing to do with them.
Well, and she's not admitting anything's wrong to them.
Yeah.
Even though it is. Like, yeah, no, I know in that book it's intentional. Like, I understand why they're doing it. But I don't know. It's a better book. I hope it continues for a while because I really like it. And I was bummed when Spider-Woman, and this is what annoys me about comic readers when I'm constantly going on about the, oh, we need female characters. Oh, we need black characters, and they don't read it. Why didn't you read Spider-Woman? Why aren't you reading this?
To me, and I've seen this with a lot of Marvel books. If it's not Spider-Man or one of their top sellers, you know, there's like a 70 to 80% chance it's going to be canceled.
Yeah, but it's just, if you're going to beg for this stuff and it comes out and it's actually good.
Yeah, but that's the vocal minority thing. And let's be honest, when you're thinking of a really good female book, does your natural indication go towards Spider-Woman?
Yes, actually, when Spider-Woman is still being published, because it was different.
No, I'm saying, let's say, remove Dennis's Hopeless's run aside. You hear this is the new Spider-Woman book. Are you inclined to care?
Well, no, but...
Well, there you go.
Except the book was going on, and people were talking about it, and they weren't saying bad things. They were saying good things. That's the thing. That's another thing that annoys me with comic readers. I'll go online. Like, I remember when... What was the frickin' book? I think it was that, it was a book that recently got canceled. What was the Ask Me About My Feminist Agenda?
Mockingbird.
Yeah, it was Mockingbird. And when Mockingbird got canceled, CBR, of course, ran a story on, you know.
But to me, that kind of thing is, that's a vocal minority.
Well, no, wait, but the people are saying, like, I didn't even know this book existed. It's not hard to know, like, you posted this on a CBR news story. CBR posts solicitations. You can look at those if you want to know what's like, what do they want them to do? I get the sense people think, oh, well, if Marvel would have put an ad in all their books, and it's like, there's only so much room for ads. Like, even in the physical books. I know we read digital, so we usually get, like, the one ad.
Remember, like we said, what did DC do? They focus all their books, and they promote just one. I think that's part of the success to DC as well. They don't have nearly as many books as Marvel.
But they also, they want, like they expect them to advertise. Like, what are you going to advertise a book on issue 4? They don't do that. Like, companies advertise, they advertise two things, new books and big storylines in a book. If a book is getting a big, like, The Button was advertised because it was a big storyline. But before that, you weren't getting ads for Flash every month. It was on issue 20 before that even came out. Yeah, but
if it was an important storyline, they would solicit it.
What I'm saying is they put ads in for things they actively want to push, either... You know, if it's a really big new creative team, like names, they will advertise the book. If it's a big story that is they consider important, they'll advertise the book. Or if it's a new comic, they'll advertise the book. It has to be one of those things. Friggin' Mockingbird, like, issue 4, come read this shit book nothing happens in. Like, they're not going to do that. They don't want to advertise stuff that they know isn't going to sell.
You're getting too caught up in the vocal minority.
Well, because they're the ones who talk, so they're the only indication I have.
But then you look at comic book sales, and the stuff they're talking about isn't what's selling. So
that's what I'm complaining about.
Well, and you know what? To be fair, I will defend them. They can only do so much. They can buy the book, and they could convince their friends to buy the book, but that's about it. That's all they can
do. But that's
really
the thing. They come on, and people like me are like, well, why didn't you buy the book then? And their excuse is like, oh, I didn't know it was being published.
Yeah, but let's say, even if they bought the book, like, how many people was that?
I don't know. Like I said, Moon Girl only has 5,000 people reading it. It still gets published.
Well, we know why that gets published.
Are you pulling a Dave Meltzer?
I don't have to. I mean, we know why.
I don't know if that's why. I don't think it's because she's a little black girl. I think it's because she's a little girl.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Obviously she's a young African American girl who's very smart. In fact, the smartest in the Marvel universe. But I think they're keeping her around because she's a little girl and they want little girls to read books.
But I don't think they're going to read her book.
It's the thing we've always said before. Like, Wonder Woman's selling now, but you've told me they've sort of been,
yeah, they prop the book up for years.
Yeah, they prop it up for years. And I think the feeling that's what they're going to do with Moon Girl is that they just like having their wheel of books they can just point to and be like, hey, we got a book for little girls.
But at least they're trying with her. Like, they're putting her on whatever that new team book is, and she's not featured in their horrible current crossover, but she's in it.
Well,
like, they are doing stuff. They're trying.
And to be honest, like I mentioned earlier before, when I first saw the character, I thought it was kind of cute. It was an interesting take on the Moon Boy and
we didn't hate the first issue of the book.
No, but the thing was, okay, we know who this market is, and then they really pushed her hard because they made her an Inhuman. They made her the smartest in the Marvel Universe, smarter than Reed. And when they did that Inhumans versus X-Men thing, they really pushed her hard. And usually when they do stuff like that, there's a backlash with me. But once I finally got to know her, I thought she's a pretty decent character.
Yeah. And I think what really bugs me about the female character thing is, like, I've talked about it before. It's the quirky teenage girl character. You know, Kamala, they've kind of changed her character. She's less that now.
Yeah, but now she was sort of like the quirky character. And
she was, but then like they had Wasp who in Secret Empire was not the way she was in her book. In Avengers, she was not the way she is in her book. In her book, she's presented like Squirrel Girl.
Well, I'm more so of the opinion that there is room for that character. The quirky female character.
But I think they did too many of that
character. No, that's what that's what I'm saying. There's room for that one character, and Kamala has pretty much cornered the market on that. There's not really.
Except they've changed Kamala's character. She's not like, you know, dorky superhero Mark superhero now. Now she's like social justice superhero.
Which I don't know if I like that as much, but,
Well, it's not her writer that's doing it though. Like, her writer has done that stuff. She did it during Civil War.
But she, you know, I will say this.
It made sense for the character in that context. It's like in Champions, I like Champions. I think it's better than Avengers. But it's very much like, it's what I thought that Occupy Avengers book was going to be. Mm-hmm. Champions is. And the Occupy Avengers book, like, we read two issues of it and it wasn't that. It was Hawkeye goes to fight evil industrialists, which, you know, whatever, fine. But the Champions are actually doing that gimmick, so they kind of have to do it. But even in that book, it feels put on. Like, Cyclops, I kind of get why he might be that way, because he's a mutant. Kamala, I get why she'd be that way. She's an American Muslim. Cho? Like,
well, they even acknowledge that not all the characters can relate in that way.
Yeah, like freaking Nova. Like, Nova's a little numbnuts. Like, he don't give shit. And by the way, I'm reading, I'm rereading Vision because I'm going to that comic thing Saturday. They have completely changed Viv's character. Like, it's like they made her 10 times less human. Cause reading this book, the trade had the first 6 issues. I'm reading it. And this is when she was first created. She is 10 times more human than she is in this book, which makes no sense whatsoever. It's like they said, okay, we need to make her more of like a robot. And I don't know why they did that. maybe to stress that she's a robot. But it's just, it's weird to me how much more human she was in her book that was largely about, you know, they're robots who are trying to be human.
Yeah.
It's just weird how much they change that character. And that's the thing in Marvel that's annoying me right now. If you read DC, the characters, they're consistent. They don't read differently in different books. If you read Marvel, it's like Viv in the book she was created in is different from the way she is in every other book she's in.
To be fair, I will defend Marvel here. They have a lot of characters and they have a lot of creative teams. DC, you got X amount of books, X amount of characters, and it's real easy to keep a lot of the characters consistent. Marvel, you have tons and tons of characters. And tons of creative people who want to tell certain characters a certain way.
But you shouldn't do that. The characters should be written consistently. Like Wasp, I've read her in 3 books now. And she is a different character in every book she's in. It doesn't make any sense. Like,
yeah, but I'm saying logistically,
it's easy because you know, I'm sure Marvel has like a character Bible or something that describes what a character's like.
I've heard the opposite.
Well, they should, or they could at least like, if you're going to freaking write the Wasp, you pick up the phone, you call the person who writes the Wasp book. Hey, I don't know this character. What's this character like? If you're not going to do that, you don't just make it up. Like you do the character consistently. DC has a lot of comics. It's not like Marvel is publishing 8 million more books, and DC's books come out twice a week.
I honestly, if I sat there and looked at every single Marvel book and every single mainline DC book, I'm sure there would be fewer DC books.
I bet it wouldn't be that many.
And in fact, I'd say because
and also,
DC has all the other, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? The Vertigos and the Young Animals. They have all the imprints. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. They have all the imprints, and that kind of bolsters their numbers, but at the same time kind of segments all the mainline DC comic books to just a couple of books. Because when you look at the numbers, I'm sure they produce an equal amount of books, but the idea being DC has all these imprints, so it kind of makes the DC mainline universe look a lot smaller.
Maybe. And I guess DC does the, yeah, they do the twice monthly.
Like, Marvel does Star Wars and maybe a few others, but I'd say like 80% of their books are all the Marvel 616, not even say 616, the Marvel comic books, the superhero books.
I'm just saying, I read Flash in Flash. I read him in Justice League. Well, I'm not reading Justice League now, but I used to read him in Justice League, and he was the same character. When I read him in Batman, when he was doing the crossover, he was the same character. He's always the same. Hal is the same in his book. He was the same in Flash. It's Batman is always the same. Superman is always the same.
But again,
it's mostly with these new characters. It's not with the old characters. The old characters, they're all the same, but it just says to me the editors aren't doing their jobs.
Well, that's a perfect example.
At least should know.
Actually, that's a perfect example. Aside from Jonathan, how many new DC characters are there really? Wally and Jonathan, those are the only ones I'm thinking of right now. Damian's not new. Most of the Teen Titans aren't new. The Titans definitely aren't new.
The new Ray is new, but he's only in one book.
Yeah. So you look at DC's new superheroes and Marvel's new superheroes.
But still, if you're an editor, and there aren't that many editors at Marvel, it's not like they have a million editors. When you're looking over a book, like it's not like you're editing just the art. Like you're editing the text that's put in.
Well, like we mentioned earlier, and I sort of want to transition this into our next book, Thanos. How many instances of the Phoenix were there? And my question was, which one of these is legit? And when does this all happen? Like, when does the Phoenix and Thor show up? And when does the Phoenix Force that Thane has shows up? And is the Phoenix and the Jean Grey series the real deal? It's like, I don't know.
Or why did Quentin Quire just get a portion of the Phoenix Force? And in Generation X, the only book he's in, why does he not have those powers?
Yeah.
And how long are they going to ignore it? But again, that's editorial. Like, whoever is the editors, I'm sure they have summits and they get together and they talk about what's going on so they all know. No one looked at Generation X and said, wait, Quentin Quire has a part of the Phoenix Force now.
Well, no, actually, the way it was explained to me in Thor was that wasn't going to be a permanent thing.
Except they said the whole gimmick was he made the deal and he got a part of the powers.
Yeah, but it wasn't going to last. He just said he wanted it for a
little bit longer.
It said he just wanted it for a little bit longer.
As no, they he said, before. No.
Yes,
he
go said, back and read.
No, I, you go, I.
No, because I'm
I
right.
I have read it. What he said was.
Then why is he having a Generation X?
He cut the deal where he complained that he wasn't getting the Phoenix Force yet because the Phoenix Force told him, I'm not coming to you yet. But he cut a deal where he would get a piece of the power. It wasn't for like a day. It was permanently. He got a little piece of the power. And then the Phoenix Force kind of flew off and apparently went to Jean Grey, which is the storyline they're running. So that's actually consistent.
But then how does Thane have the Phoenix Force?
Because they don't. That's what I'm complaining about, dude.
I'm of the opinion that the Phoenix and the Jean Grey book is not the real deal. It's just mastermind.
Well, whatever. We'll find out.
All right, so brought it up. Thanos issue 7, writer Jeff Lemire, art by Mike Diodato. This is big. We took tons of time reviewing Hulk, so I think.
Well, we weren't talking about Hulk for the last 15 minutes, but.
But I'm saying we took plenty of time for that portion of the show. Thanos is going to take about 10 seconds.
Yeah, so Thanos is dying and he's on Titan. And there were some dudes there who caught him when he was eating rats, because that's all he can get for food. And they were like, hey, we're going to rob this guy. You got to get out of here, because he's like, what are you doing in my house? This is my planet. And they're like, no, this is our planet. We're scavenging here. And he's like, but I'm Thanos. And they're like, yeah, whatever. And they shit-stomp him and take his hat. And then Star Fox and Champion of the Universe and Nebula show up, and they're like, oh, hey, Thanos, this is going to sound kind of weird, but you want to come with us, save the universe? And he's all beat up and dying. And
that,
so,
that was pretty much just
the that was it, because it was like him being almost dead and getting beat up. He also got bit by a giant rat, which he then ate. He killed it and ate it.
And that's about it. If it sounds like we're in a hurry to move on to the rest of the show, that's all that happened. I even said, should we even bother reviewing this?
Right, well, go. I like the art in this book.
Yeah, Mike Diodato is a great artist.
Yeah, he's a lot better in this than he's been in some other stuff, just saying.
Really? What has he done that's not been good?
I don't remember. He did something that I complained about, though, semi-recently.
You're probably confusing it with somebody else.
I could be.
All right. Moon Knight, issue 14, writer Jeff Lemire, art by Greg Smallwood.
I think this book is over now.
It is over.
I don't know what was real and what wasn't.
Everything basically... Well, the thing was, everything was... At the end, everything was real. Khonshu was making him see stuff, but the idea was Mark Spector basically embraced all of his personalities.
Yeah, so what Khonshu was trying to do was basically empty out his head to make him like the perfect vessel. That was the gimmick.
But Spector fought it, and he realized, you know, I don't like being jerked around by Khonshu anymore.
Yeah, he crushed Khonshu's head, which should mean Moon Knight doesn't have powers anymore.
Yeah.
But maybe he just gets to keep them.
Well, I think the thing going forward is that he's just not going to have powers now going forward. And that's fine with me, because especially if they're not going to be doing
Here's the thing, since we were just talking about this, I guarantee everything's going to be exactly the same and nothing from this story is ever going to be referenced again.
No, my thing is, who's going to be using Moon Knight for the foreseeable future? Nobody. Yeah. Who cares? What does it matter?
I don't know. This storyline went on too long.
Oh, yeah, and it was way too confusing. You could have done this in, like, maybe 6 issues, 8 issues.
This wasn't bad overall. There were some really strong issues in this, but it went on too long. Too much of it was frickin' shoegazing, and this was inferior in every way to the 6 issues Warren Ellis did.
Even the stuff that Cullen Bunn did, and even the stuff that Brian Wood did.
Yeah. The last run was better. This had its moments, but like I said, it was about 7 issues too long, because nothing they put in those issues felt like it added to this.
No, not at all.
And I mean, the character was basically set back to what he was before. Like, there's nothing new for the character. I mean, the one thing they did is it's like, okay, we're not going to be messing around with Khonshu anymore. Like, what they established in this was, he was always crazy. He was crazy before Khonshu. That they set that up because that was always a question. So they set up that he was crazy before Khonshu. He had the multiple personalities. Fair enough. That was one thing. And then they set up that he's not technically going to be working with Khonshu anymore, but he's still going to be Moon Knight. And that was it. That was what they resolved with. Like, his other supporting cast, I assume they were not really there. Like, I just assume it was all in his head.
It doesn't matter. The basically the end of this was the new status quo for Moon Knight is that he's just a guy in a costume now. And he embraces his crazy personalities. Actually, you know, I'll say this much. I think I prefer this new status quo. Because with Moon Knight, I think it was always too much.
If they stick with it, I'm okay with it, because so many of the Moon Knight stories lately have been, like, over the last decade, have been, is he crazy or is he really not? And if he is crazy, is it Khonshu doing it? They've done that story so much. And to finally have it resolved, yes, he is crazy.
Well, my thing is, if someone's going to want to bring back Moon Knight, I think it's going to want to be to write a Batman-esque story, but they still want to make him different enough to where, okay, he's like Batman in the sense that he doesn't have superpowers, but he's still crazy, so he's different enough to where you can do something fun with him.
Yeah.
All right, and to wrap up this week's books, Secret Empire, number 3, writer Nick Spencer, art by Andrea Sorrentino.
Let me get it off first of all. The art in this is bad.
I think it's good, but just ill-fitted for the story.
Yes. Here's the problem. I can't tell who some of the characters are.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem with a cast this big. Like, this art I would like if it was in, say, a Punisher book.
Or a Old Man Logan.
Or Old Man Logan. But in this, like, there were scenes when, like, they were talking to Sam Wilson. And I actually said at one point, who's this white guy? And then I realized it was Sam Wilson, who might have a beard now. He might not. It's like Sam Wilson has looked the same for years. Don't change the way a character looks, because I didn't know who anyone was.
The problem with this, and I think you've addressed this before in the past, if not with this book, other books, I don't understand why am I getting invested in the storyline when they've already said they're teasing stuff with the cosmic.
Oh, they've already solicited Cap being a good guy again.
Yeah, Cosmic Cube, and it's like you're just gonna undo everything. None of this matters.
Well, the plot is about them collecting pieces of the Cosmic Cube to fix it all.
Yeah, but I'm of the opinion that there's gonna be no lasting results from this.
No, there's not. Well, there might be. Like, somebody will probably die, because that's what they do. Okay, so in this issue, Cap's still a dick. He's also looking for the Cosmic Cube pieces, and has now started a war with Atlantis, because that's smart, to teach Nermer a lesson for trying to hide pieces of his Cosmic Cube. Mm-hmm. Black Widow met up with Maria Hill, who agrees with her and wants to kill Cap. Black Widow is training the young kids, like basically the champions, how to kill. And they're failing at it. Like they had a gimmick where they had a supervillain and like they'd failed this 7 times. She grows bombs in her heart, which she can then explode and kill a bunch of people. So what they kept doing was they would like have Wasp shrink down and try to dismantle the bombs, but they kept failing and it blew up. And Wasp was talking to him like, you kids need to realize the world we're in now. She's like, what do you do if it's one bad person and they're going to kill 1,000 good people? You have to kill them. And Wasp is like, no, you find another way, which thumbs up to her. That is what heroes are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
They always find a way without killing the villain. But Wasp says the world has changed and we can't do that. That's why she went off and found Maria Hill alone. By the way, she found Maria Hill meeting up with the new crime boss of New Jersey, Boomerang.
This is the guy that wrote it because he's got to get that storyline in or that character in.
Well, the only they pointed out the only reason Boomerang has any power is when the Dark Force dimension covered New York, he was hiding out in New Jersey, and all the other criminals were in New York, so he's the only one left. So she met up with Maria Hill there. Maria Hill wants to kill Cap too. And she basically gave her his schedule so that he could sneak through and do it. Cap is still trying to get old woman Sharon to like love him. Mm-hmm. I don't know. No, he basically said, everybody respects you and we need you. And, the other characters, Hercules and company, they have to get out of America so that they can go around the world and collect the cosmic cube pieces. And they needed Sam Wilson, who is now working on the Mexico border, smuggling people out of America into Mexico.
I thought it was the Canadian border.
Well, they were going – I thought that too. Mm-hmm. But they were going south.
Oh, okay. My mistake then.
So, yeah, I thought it was the Canadian border, but apparently not. And, you know, there is some – although maybe their geography is messed up because, yeah, there were a lot of trees. And, I mean, I only know one part of the Mexican border, and it's like desert. I don't know if there's a lot of forest down there. But either way, they were going to, like, Colombia or something, which would be south. Mm-hmm. Whatever. The dumb thing about this is, did they put a freaking shield around America? Because, like, some of these characters can fly. Like, what? And Quicksilver can run. Like, Quicksilver's even saying, oh, should I run on Scout ahead? And he's like, no, we all have to stay together. And Sam Wilson would not put on his costume and fight with them because he's done with that. Because a lot of the people, they're not even upset that Trump is president.
Yes,
I said that on purpose because I understand what this story is doing.
Well, it's funny because this was written before the election.
Oh, but it's working now.
I think this was written with the idea that this is what Nick Spencer thought would have happened.
Yes, and Nick Spencer's a big lib, so this is what he's saying. But yeah, a lot of people are like supporting Hydra. And they like what they're doing, so they don't deserve to be saved. Sam Wilson continues to prove he is a horrible hero.
Yeah.
I just want to contrast this with She-Hulk, who said at the end of the book, yes, the world is terrible and people are horrible, but I'm still going to save it. Because she's a damn hero, and Sam Wilson is a quitter, a quieter, as they would say on the internet.
A quieter.
Because everybody misspells quitter.
Is he an anti-hero?
No, he might be. I hope he is. I hope he's the one who dies. But he won't because I've seen him solicited in other things. I hope he dies and the Cosmic Cube brings him back as Falcon. Mm-hmm. I liked him when he was Falcon. I hate him as Cap. He's so whiny. It's Nick Spencer's fault. If he would have been a good Cap, he wouldn't be so whiny. But yeah, so he's trying to sneak him across the border because storyline reasons, they can't just leave. There was a bit of comedy in this where Captain Marvel sent Star-Lord out to go talk to a group of aliens about helping them breach the shield, the Earth shield, because the fight was not going well in the Chitauri. He explained the whole situation, which led to the aliens, which included like a Skrull and somebody else, go. They went, "Hail, what's the name of the group? Hail Hydra!" And then they tried to kill Star-Lord because none of the aliens like Earth because they're always causing problems. So he told her it wouldn't work, and she's trying to think of a way to solve this, and the Alpha Flight Station's going to fall apart because they keep dying because they're stupid and they don't hide somewhere else while the aliens continually murder themselves by charging into the energy shield.
Yeah.
For some reason, they're fighting them instead of just letting them kill themselves. But, you know, whatever. So, we didn't get anything in New York, though. We didn't see Doctor Strange and Daredevil and them. Or, I'm sorry, the leaders of the New York superheroes, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage.
Woo!
Even though...
And Cloak and Dagger.
And Cloak and Dagger. Now, the other one is, we have some more Hydra twists, I think, because Scarlet Witch is now on Hydra's side. And we found out at the end, the big reveal was the Punisher is working for Hydra because he went to go kill Boomerang. Oof. And when they showed Punisher, they pulled back, and he had a Hydra shirt on instead of the skull. Now, I have to think... There is no way they can justify this, but the Cosmic Cube turned Punisher into a Hydra agent.
Why? No, let me ask.
Because if they try to convince me that the Punisher would work for Hydra, I might stop reading Marvel Comics.
Well, okay, I have two arguments here as far as defending this decision. Isn't Punisher like a giant mark for Captain America?
It depends on how you read it. If Captain America went bad, Punisher would kill him.
But define what bad is.
Like if he was a bad guy who was murdering people in the streets, like Cap is doing. But or if he kills a bunch of innocent SHIELD agents and crashes their helicarriers and blows up part of St. Louis. And is setting up re-education camps, Punisher would be against that. He would not be for Cap.
I don't know.
Also, Punisher would not work for a government agency. That storyline's been dealt with before. Also, Punisher has absolutely no problem killing his friends when they turn evil.
This is what I'm trying to say is, Punisher is fine with him killing, but other organizations killing he has a problem with?
No, I'm saying he wouldn't work. He, as a character, he would not work for an organization.
Even if it was they have done, Cap?
Yes, they have done multiple storylines where Punisher absolutely, and it was things like he would have done, like where he will not work for the government again. He won't do it. He won't work for anyone. He doesn't like working with other people. Punisher doesn't like people.
Likes Cap.
But that's an inconsistent thing. Like, he wouldn't turn evil for Cap. And what I'm afraid of is they're going to do the storyline of like, oh, but Hydra is killing bad guys.
Yeah,
that's it wouldn't matter to Punisher. He's very black and white. Zemo is a bad guy, and he is known as being on, like, the ruling council of SHIELD. Punisher would not work for him.
Part of what you brought up is saying you don't. If they try to do that, you may not want to read Marvel Comics.
I will seriously be that upset.
Can I say this much?
Or I will never read a Nick Spencer comic again because he doesn't know how to write.
Let me explain where I'm coming with this. This book makes me sad, not because it's about Cap being evil and a bunch of people dying, just because it's really bad. And you talked about not wanting to read Marvel Comics. Can we not read this? Can we not read this crossover?
No, because I have to finish it now.
This book just brings me nothing but sorrow. Like they have
turned one of my favorite characters full heel.
It's making me pine for the days of Age of Ultron and Original Sin.
At least Age of Ultron, nothing happened in. Like, I mean, that was bad at the time, like, reading it. That was terrible. Because it was so boring. But it didn't, like, offend me as a guy who's read comics for years. This offends me. And it's not the Cat being evil thing. Cat being evil thing is fine. It's this, suddenly, these other here's the problem with this. We read Scarlet Witch's book. We're currently reading Punisher's book. They haven't had the Cosmic Cube for a long time. So why are Punisher and Scarlet Witch Hydra agents now? When the point of the story is we have to get the Cosmic Cube so I can complete my plan.
That is true. The other Avengers are hanging out with Cap like it's no big deal. Like, oh, well, they're the Avengers and Captain America's their leader. And it's like, oh, okay, can we get the explanation of why
Maybe he has a mind control person working for him.
Because it's like Vision, Thor, and Scarlet Witch. I can imagine maybe controlling maybe one of the two. But like all three? Like what could you possibly do that can have control over Scarlet Witch, Thor, and Vision? Like
Quentin Quire's working for him.
You're dealing with three completely different characters.
You know what another problem is?
What?
We're 3 months into this, right? Or 3 issues in?
Yeah.
Why is this not going on in any other book?
It's going to. The tie-ins are coming.
Okay. There's a big gap, though, because it's already... Like, I mean, I know I hate that, and I complain about it all the time, because it basically means whatever storyline you're doing, you have to put a dead stop to it and deal with this.
Can that be where they draw the line, then? Can we not read the tie-ins?
We don't have to read the tie-ins.
Okay. Because I kind of want to make this where I put my foot down, but
yeah, we don't have to. I mean, we'll read the tie-ins in the books we already read.
I'm even thinking going as far as to say the books that have the tie-ins to this, can we just skip them?
Because if I am reading a book and I enjoy it, I have hope that means the writer is talented enough to make me enjoy this story.
Okay, we'll give it one try. How about that?
Well, there's going to be every book's going to tie into this, I imagine.
We give one tie and a try, and then we just stop if it's bad.
We could stop that one individually.
No. We stop all the tie-ins after we read one.
No, because they might not all be bad.
Do I get a no prize if all of them are bad?
Yeah, but I don't think they'll all be bad.
Yeah, well, I think they will.
I thought one issue of Secret Empire was okay.
Like, I may start rereading Age of Ultron for fun compared to this now.
No, it's bad, but I still think it's better than that.
No.
I know it's all going to work out in the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is bad. And pick a different artist, because...
Great artist! Love him on Old Man Logan.
But I don't know what I'm looking at.
You won't read Old Man Logan unless this guy draws it.
Yeah. He's good in that. Yeah. I know what I'm looking at in that because he doesn't have 8 million characters.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for this week's books. Let's close up this bad boy with next week's books.
That is the worst thing I've ever heard.
That is Macho Man's Dig It.
Macho Man is completely lacking in rhythm.
You don't say.
He's just talking.
Yeah, a little bit.
Not even like it.
To the
like
beat.
He's just talking. Yeah. It's oh god. Okay. Let's look at next week's books. I really want to see that new Aliens movie, by the way.
I've heard mixed things, but you know, this is like the same people that love Wonder Woman hated Alien. So I'm like, maybe Alien might be good now.
I heard it was good.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, the people that liked Wonder Woman don't like Aliens. I'm like, wait, it might be good then.
We have Aquaman 24. Wait, let me check something real quick, because I'm confused.
You're looking at, I presume, would be... No, it's June 7th.
No. Batman, 24.
Proceed.
Should we read Deathstroke? Just because...
How are they billing this, Deathstroke?
It's the Lazarus Contract epilogue.
Let's put that in the maybe pile.
Okay. Cause he quit. So. Fallen Rise of Captain Atom. 6 of 6. It's over.
It started off really strong and now it's just a book.
Now we're to the conclusion. So. Maybe it'll be strong. Okay.
No, I'm not advocating for. I'm asking as a question.
What?
Justice League? I thought we dropped.
No. Did you look at who's writing that? I've never heard of this person.
Let me see. I may have heard of him. It's not it's not our boy anymore.
No.
Ooh, no.
Maybe it's a fill-in. Let's read Shade.
We often read Shade. Shade's yeah. Also good.
Superman 24. So hyped for that.
What issue is this?
Superman?
Yeah, I'm saying, why are you hyped? Oh, yes, the reveal.
Yeah. I already, you know.
We already okay. know.
Okay. We already know. We already told everyone. Well, we got the reveal in the last issue, yeah. But Superman doesn't know yet. So
he might be listening.
That means there's a Kiss Vampirella crossover comic. 5 issues. And a Mighty Mouse book? Is it about Demetrius Johnson?
Ripping on UFC?
Dude, I watched his promo. Mm-hmm. That was amazing. He's gonna get fired.
I like when they threaten to just get rid of the division.
Yeah, get rid of it. And he's like, get rid of the motherfucker. Like, that was awesome. Oh, I love that.
He's like, okay. Oh, I'm a huge draw. I'm like, yeah, sure you are, buddy.
I don't care if he's a draw or not. He's 100% right on this. Everyone else gets to pick who they fight.
Yeah, but he's Demetrius Johnson.
I don't care.
Doesn't draw flies.
No, but he's a good fighter.
They got to try to make him marketable. They got to give him somebody marketable.
Hey, he doesn't want to fight somebody he can lose to. Who's in a different weight division.
He's scared.
That's not, because he's not the right weight. No, I don't want to read that with you. Injection 13.
Divided States of America?
Of Hysteria.
Oh, sorry, I didn't read that.
Can we read it?
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to get pissed off.
Yeah.
How can you
tell you from what? Just the name?
I know who wrote it, and I read the write-up. And I'm like, he's not gonna like this. Howard Jenkins been writing books with messages since like the 70s.
Now I have to read it.
Injection 13. Mm-hmm. Reborn 6 of 6.
Ooh, I love Reborn.
Well, it's over.
I wish that was a continuing series.
I don't. I'm already kind of bored with it.
No, I love it.
Walking Dead 168. I said I wasn't reading Spider-Man anymore, right?
Yes. And I wasn't
going to. All are amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm over it. Avengers number 8.
A book I swear we dropped, but we actually liked the last issue, so.
Yeah, new storyline. Black Bolt number 2. Champions number 9.
Champions.
And we're reading it. Iceman number one.
Jesus.
Yep.
The gay book.
Oh, they haven't advertised it that way. Jessica Jones number nine.
Yeah, but you know when you read it, that's what it's going to be.
I don't think it will. I think they'll chicken out. Nova number seven, which is ending. Not reading the Secret Empire book. The Secret Empire tie-in.
Brave New World.
Yeah. You asked me not to read it, so we're not going to read it.
Yay!
Are we still reading Spider-Man adjective list?
I like it.
Okay. We can read it. Look at the adjective. It doesn't have spider. Because it is hyphenated.
I don't think Kevin Nash knows what the adjective means.
So. Look at the adjective. Play.
It's a verb.
That's a verb. It's not an adjective. I knew that when I was a kid. Now, did we drop X-Men Gold?
Yes, we dropped it in favor of Blue, but.
Blue. And Generation X.
Yeah,
because the art is still by the terrorist.
By the terrorist.
And I don't want to support him.
Actually, let me see. Maybe not. I know the
It is. I looked already.
Okay. The terrorist.
He's a bad dude. Yeah, but that's everything.
We're not doing Generation Zero or X-Men Blue. Can I put in the
I like X-Men Blue. I didn't see it. Is it coming out?
That's what I'm saying. Let's maybe read X-Men Gold because we got nothing else.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he's a terrorist.
Terrorist.
Dude.
What?
He's talking about the things the Jews do. And when he talks about that, he's saying...
He says when they're offended, there's no mercy.
Yeah. Well, I guess that doesn't make him a terrorist.
No. Well, actually, wasn't he seen with that photo with that guy who...
Yeah, well, but like I said, he might not know.
I think he knows.
What does that mean when they're offended, there's no mercy? Were they... Does he mean, like, during, like, World War II, did the Nazis not offend them?
I think what he's trying to say is they were offended, and as opposed to just, you know, putting him in the penalty box for a little bit, his career is pretty much over.
They weren't offended. It was someone on the internet pointed it out, and they responded to their fans.
Yeah,
complaining.
But the people that were outraged weren't even going to hear him out. It's like, oh, no.
You know what I was offended by?
His art?
Yeah, his bad 90s... generic image style art.
I defended him and I'm like, he's drawing the X-Men book that's supposed to harken back to the old stuff. Of course he's gonna draw it that way.
Bargain basement Jim Lee.
Well, that's what he was trying to go for.
Like modern day Jim Lee.
Wow! Shots fired.
Dude, Jim Lee is nowhere near as good as he used to be, or I have higher standards in art. I'm gonna draw every character with like, an extra 200 pounds of muscle, and they're always going to be posing.
And they'll be wearing a V.
They'll have a V-neck costume. Did he? He didn't give Batman a V-neck.
They did, didn't he?
No, I don't think so. I think Batman's costume kind of stayed. No, he because Batman can't have a V-neck. It has to come all the way up.
Let me look up the new 52.
Batman's not showing off his hairy chest or anything.
Well, neither is Superman.
Batman's costume largely stayed the same. Yeah, but Superman still had a V-neck.
You are correct.
Yeah, Batman, I think, well, because that was the deal. Morrison said, you got to keep Batman the same because I'm not done with my story. So they're like, okay.
But Green Lantern, Aquaman have V-necks.
Yep. So did Wonder Woman briefly.
How did she? Oh, wait, yeah, that's right. There was that one era before.
No, there's seriously a picture, like they did like a picture where they collected all the characters. Damn near all of them had V-necks, and it's like, I think Jim Lee apologized for it later. Like, I'm not joking, I think he seriously did. He's like, yeah, I might have went a little crazy with the V-necks.
Okay, we got 16 books, do you want to add Deathstroke?
Yes.
Okay, so 17 books. Alright, unless there's anything else you really want to talk about before we wrap this up, it's going to do it for this week's show.
No, I gotta watch two segments on Raw, and I gotta watch Bruno Sammartino talk to Ric Flair. I bet he tells the story about hiding from the Nazis.
And wrestling the bear.
I have heard Bruno Sammartino's stories, 8 million times, and I still like hearing them. He is such a charming old man.
I know. He's such a delightful old man. I mean, kind of full of it, because he was like, oh, I'm not going back to WWE until they stop with the steroids.
I watched it, and I didn't see anyone on the steroids. It's like, dude, you watched when they were pushing Ryback, and you were talking to Triple H. Dr. Joseph Maroon told me they do not do the drugs.
And then they gave me my big bag of money with the dollar signs on it.
They putting the Bruno collection on the network. I do not get any money for that, though, unless the Raven succeeds in his lawsuit.
And by the way, I have a documentary to plug, which is the reason why I'm here.
There's a documentary coming out, and a biography of my life. It is called Bruno's List.
It's called Bruno Wrestles the Bear the one time.
Oh, God. If in that movie, I have a fear that the Bruno movie is just going to be all about, like, you know, him hiding from the Nazis. If they don't get to the point when he wrestled the bear, that should be the climax of the movie. Like, it's all building up to the bear, and when the bear comes out, it's wearing, like, a little Nazi hat. It's got an SS hat, and he has the flashbacks, and then he gets the bear, he stretches him. The bear's name is Schmidt.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's show. So from all of us at HalfGuard.com, thanks for checking out this week's show. And as always, check you guys out next week. Adios.
Wherever you go, I'll be with you. I'll always be with you. Yeah, the moon, the stars, Venus, Pluto, Saturn, yeah. Looking down and covering all bases.
Wait a minute.
Can that be the outro every week now?
Did he just compare himself to the moon and stars? I'll always be with you. I'm always watching you. Oh, yeah. Is he singing about Elizabeth?
No, he's talking about us, the fans.
Oh, God. That's terrifying.
Well,
it's like Santa Claus, it's Macho Man, so it's scarier.
Have you seen that Arn Anderson meme? He said, I'm watching you when you masturbate.
That came from the cat. That was the first, the ceiling cat watches you when you masturbate.
Yeah, but it's funny with Arn Anderson because he's got the stern look.
Every time you masturbate, God kills a kitten.
Right, let's stop recording.